We will officially call the Planning Commission meeting to order. Welcome to tonight's meeting on April 12th. Tonight, we're going to do a public hearing on the C1 LUCA. Before and after that, we're going to have time for public testimony, which we've all seen before. So we'll go through the preliminaries initially, or the roll call. We do have several people that are out tonight because of spring break. So I believe Commissioner Morrisseau is not able to join us. Vice Chair Bargava and Council Liaison Robertson will not be able to be here. But I will take a roll call for the rest. Commissioner Melikuchin.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Cool.
Here.
Here.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda for this evening?
I make a motion to approve our today meeting agenda.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, all approve say aye.
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 All right, thank you. Reports from City Council boards and commissions. Tara?
Unfortunately, Council Member Robertson is not here. I don't have any additional reports.
Okay. And how about, do you want to move on to the meeting schedule?
Absolutely. Happy to do that. One moment. Good evening, Chair Ferris, Planning Commissioners, and members of the public. Included in your packet, we have a schedule for the next few months preceding your August break. Just a couple changes from what was published in the packet. We have a placeholder, of course, for your next meeting if there's an additional meetings needed for C1, Phase 2. We're also going to be providing the Commission with an update, just an overview of all the community engagement and kind of a deeper dive into a community engagement associated with the Comprehensive Plan Periodic Update. So there's been a lot of engagement over the last few months, so we'll do an overview and just kind of preview of process for the draft EIS process. Moving forward in May, anticipating public hearing on the ADU LUCA, and then more discussion on the draft EIS for the Comprehensive Plan Update and Wolverton Vision Implementation. Your next meeting in May, we'll have transportation staff come back as you wanted, provide an overview of the curb management plan, which would have gone before the Transportation Commission. We'll continue on with the tree canopy work, and then we'll have staff present on the comprehensive plan amendment and policy changes for Wilburton. June is essentially going to be dedicated to both the discussion of the preferred alternative for both the comprehensive plan update and Wilburton, and then more discussion on that. July will be primarily Wilburton policy amendments, so discussion on that. And in addition, another study session on the tree canopy code.
Thank you very much. Okay, we can move on to our oral communications. We'll have a total of 30 minutes that's available for our public testimony. We'll call upon you in the order that you've signed up, but you can also raise your hand either virtually or in person if you haven't had a chance to sign up. Each person will have a total of 3 minutes to speak. Do we have anyone that signed up for this?
We apologize. There's a little bit of confusion with the sign-in. So we have two speakers signed up to speak for the public hearing, but no, we don't have a separate sign-in for oral communication. So if there's any...
No, well, you can speak. There was a public testimony for the LUCA, but there's also, I mean, public testimony just to speak if it's not about the LUCA. But okay. Yes, you can. 3 minutes.
Yeah, you can speak twice because it has a problem.
Guys, I don't come here because I'm so naive and stupid, so it can change who you are. No, I only want bring information what is critical, you know what I mean? Because your brain probably closed, not because you're stupid, because you not care about this. Your personal interest, for this I call you, you have instinct of garbage rats. So why? Because rats by definition, you know what I mean, have absolutely same business philosophy, what is human beings, Homo sapiens. So number one, what is I want to explain to you right now. Last Monday, the council don't have meeting. They start right now, take one meeting per month out. Go to election, they scared. This is number one. Before, we have 20 people who speak, 20 people. They come to eliminate 10 people and rest out. Why is this happen? 5-6 years ago, they did this trick only because don't want what is I speak. And every time what is I come for many years, I come number one. Exactly, registered number one for many years. No question. But I don't care, first or second. But they put me always in back, so I cannot speak. They make this trick. But this freaking not only idiot, is this account them more, include you, you more dangerous than Nazi or communist, because by definition you have only personal interest. So what's happened? So right now when 20 people, they put me back, you know, number 20, it's okay with me, no problem, I will wait. So they talk, no, more 10 people. It's number one. They changed rules a couple months ago, you know what I mean, because you're supposed to be speak of end of the meeting. They broke these rules too. They're doing this only because me, for one man. You understand what I'm talking? It's absolutely idiotic situation. They are pure bandit. I call them a Democrat mafia. This another question, what is I have right now, because I have only 1 minute more. Bellevue right now is number one. White is a number one city when white people minority right now. It is absolutely critical because we have condition what is, for me it look like a Holocaust because I'm a Jew, my generation, you know what is mean, have this experience, yes. So this is a Holocaust. It's not about racism, you know what is mean. It's about culture because we hire people from Shanghai, and all Calcutta, you know what I mean? Is these people come totally with different mentality, with different philosophy, different culture. It's a problem. And most of them born like a slave. You understand what I mean? In this country, you know what I mean? In a different country too, people are like a slave inside. When you born in a country what is have slave mentality, you cannot change. So I come to you because I want what is you know about this. It's my personal opinion. You can have different opinion. It's a free country. It's America. But something happened critical right now. Thank you very much. I will speak again. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? This has to be not about the public hearing that we're having a little later on. If there's another topic that you'd like to speak on, you're welcome to speak. Anyone?
We do have several folks attending virtually. So if anyone attending virtually wants to speak during oral communications, please raise your hand.
Okay.
I do not see anyone with their hand raised.
Great. All right. Well, let's move on to written communications. Would you be able to summarize that?
Absolutely. Staff received a few emails, and so that was included in your packet relating to the ADU LUCA. There was also a pretty detailed survey submitted by a resident community member, and that was included in your packet, so survey results and respondents, so a lot of information. And then during the day today, I believe it was after 5, so apologies for the late sendover, but it came in fairly late in the evening, public comment relating to the C1 LUCA, which I'm not sure if they'll be speaking tonight as well.
Thank you very much. All right, I think we're ready to move on to the public hearing. We will open the public hearing and staff will do a presentation, and at that point we will open it up for public comment. At the end, we'll close the public hearing, and then the commissioners will discuss and ask any questions and ultimately decide whether we want to move that LUCA on further. So do I have a motion to open the public hearing?
Move that we open the public hearing.
Second.
Any discussion? All of you say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Great. Thank you. And welcome to Nick and Christina.
Great. Yeah. We'll run through it. Thank you, Tara. And good evening, Chair Ferris and Planning Commissioners. Tonight we are here to talk about the C1 Phase 2 Luca. We are here for the public hearing. The Planning Commission has held 2 study sessions on this topic to date, and we received direction to prepare this for the public hearing. So tonight we are asking that you hold the hearing and, following the hearing, recommend to the City Council approval of the proposed Luca. Next slide. So, and for our agenda tonight, we do want to cover the proposed land use code amendment, also address some of the questions that were posed at study session 2 on this topic. We'll cover the process that this code amendment has taken thus far, and we'll also recap how the recommended LUCA is consistent with the decision criteria, and then we'll be asking for the Planning Commission direction on this item. So Christina is here to walk us through the content, and I'll turn it over to her.
Thanks, Nick. Good evening. So tonight I'm going to be first walking briefly through the components of the LUCA as proposed. And so over the past 2 study sessions, we divided the LUCA into 4 topics. They are first, the affordable housing suffix concept itself. Second, the eligibility criteria for properties to be included. Third, are the affordable housing suffix designation criteria. And we do have, 2 options tonight that we are going to be asking the Planning Commission to choose between that came up in discussion in our past study session. And then fourth, finally, the applicable procedures. So first topic tonight is the affordable housing suffix concept. So we are using a slightly different approach here where the eligible properties would be rezoned, adding this affordable housing suffix to their property. And the purpose of that suffix is to point to the alternate multifamily district that's available to them when they're building 100% permanent affordable housing. And the intent behind this approach is that it allows basically to add affordable housing as an option for these properties without taking away anything from their current ability to develop as single family. That way, because, you know, we're moving forward with rezoning without necessarily getting all of the properties to confirm that they want to move forward, we're using that approach. So there are 4 suffixes, 1 to 4, and those correspond to our multifamily land use districts ranging between R10, 10 units per acre, up to R30, 30 units per acre. Second topic are the eligibility criteria. So in order to be eligible for the rezone, properties have to be owned or controlled by a religious organization. And a couple of notes there just to kind of underline, because we've had some confusion in previous meetings. The question of ownership or control really comes up at 2 points. First would be if we're considering whether or not a property is eligible for the rezone. And then the other point would be when determining eligibility for the 50% density bonus that's already established in code. So once these sites are rezoned with that AH suffix, down the line, they can be developed. The ownership question doesn't necessarily matter for developing for affordable housing. It's just the affordable housing requirements. So that permanent affordability for multifamily will remain in the future. In addition, sites have to be located currently in a single family land use district. And then once they're developed again, all housing units have to be permanent affordable housing. They also have to meet all of our location criteria, which are currently that the site is located with frequent transit service, must be located within 500 feet of a multifamily or commercial land use district, and must be located on an arterial street. So third topic tonight, and this is where we are going to be seeking a recommendation, and I'll provide a little bit more context to help guide the choice. So we have 2 options as to how we determine the alternate multifamily land use district that's available for a property. The first option as drafted, which is staff's recommendation, would be to go with either the adjacent or closest land use district, which I'll explain these in a bit more detail in a moment, or alternately, looking to the highest density land use district located within 500 feet of the eligible site, which was discussed at the last study session. So in either case, we would be working with this concept of a reference district. That would be a land use district identified within the surrounding area of the site with the intent that we would be allowing a similar density or scale with that land reference district. So in either case, we are kind of bringing up the eligible site to a density found in the surrounding area, just two different approaches to determining what that density would be. So again, those two options, so option A, which is as drafted in the LUCA, it would be a tiered system. So for those properties that have multifamily or commercial immediately adjacent, we would select the district that shares the longest share of its boundary. For those eligible sites that don't have multifamily or commercial immediately adjacent, we would look to the closest land use district that allows those uses, with the director's discretion to apply when it's unclear which might be the closest. Option B would be just simply to select the highest density land use district within 500 feet of the eligible site. So we've got some comparisons here to show what the impact would be. In general, across the board, if we went with option B, we'd be creating capacity for approximately 500 more housing units across all sites. This is with the assumption that all sites are completely redeveloped and developed to their full capacity. So a little caveat there that it's unlikely, but there would be an additional lift. It would increase the density allowed for 10 out of the 30 sites. Most of those would only bump up by one level. However, we have two sites where it would be a more dramatic increase. One would increase by two levels, and one of those would increase by three. So I'll show you those two sites in a moment so you can see kind of how this would play out in reality. So the first of these sites, this is the Cross of Christ site on 156th. This one, as you can see here, it's not immediately adjacent. It has R15 would be the closest district. So under the initial proposal, they would be going up to that density, which is the AH2 level. However, within 500 feet, they do have community business, which would bump them up to the highest kind of an R30 density, plus the 50% density bonus would be available.
And that's Crossroads, potentially?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
And then we have an aerial here so you can kind of see an overview of the surrounding area. And again, you know, no proposals are actually proposed at this time. It's just kind of for context. And then the other example we have, this is the one site that would go all the way from R10 to R30 under the alternative. This is at the LDS Church on Northup Way. So as you can see currently, it shares a property line with an R10 zoning. That's another eligible property on the east side there. But so under the initial proposal, it would be R10 consistent with that neighboring land use district. However, to the rear of the property on the other side of a single family subdivision there is R30 zoning. So under the alternative option B, it would increase to that R30 level. So here you can see that R30 housing existing is kind of on the southern edge of the image. Then it's R10 to the west with some R7.5 in between. So fourth topic would be applicable procedures. So currently in our code, religious facilities are conditional uses. And so if a religious facility is going to be rebuilt, in some cases, historically, the applicant might have to get a new conditional use permit, which can be a lengthy process. So we have proposed here that for those cases where, thank you, where a religious facility is being rebuilt, but not to exceed the size of the existing facility, we're confirming that it could go through the administrative CUP process instead, which is a much simpler, administrative straightforward process to use alternatively, because the CUP is a process one quasi-judicial decision. All right. Okay. So moving on to Q&A from our previous study session. The first question we had was around flexibility for sites that might only be missing one of the criteria. So the first consideration is that in policy HO36 that was adopted in December, it does say that sites have to meet all of the location criteria. However, in the comprehensive plan, the definition of those location criteria is a bit broader than the way we have to apply it in the land use code. So there are a couple places where we could expand or alter the definition in the land use code and still remain consistent with that comp plan definition if we were seeking to move that way. So one way in the comprehensive plan, we define one of those criteria as located near high capacity transportation infrastructure and services. So the way we interpreted that in the proposal was to say that sites must have both access to an arterial and access to frequent transit service as an indicator for high capacity transportation and services. So one option there could be to say either sites must have arterial access or frequent transit service. That would add a few additional sites to be eligible. The other alternative in the comprehensive plan, we say near other multifamily residential or commercial use districts. We talked about this a bit before, but in the proposal we have that 500-foot radius. So expanding that would be possible. However, the city council's kind of previous consensus was around 500 feet, which is why we're recommending that as the buffer. We would note as well that we do already have some flexibility in the way we establish arterial access. For example, one of the eligible sites that we have included is not located directly on an arterial, but it's connected by a very short dead-end street that essentially only serves the eligible site. So in that case, we did make the decision to say effectively the site has direct arterial access. So there is some discretion there, but otherwise, you know, we still have that comprehensive plan policy as the setting the guardrails there. It's sort of a trade-off for having objective criteria and a by right process. The trade-off there is that we don't have that room for considering every individual site's characteristics, but it is a savings in process. So the next question, we had some discussion around whether the presence of a property with the AH suffix could meet the definition of significantly changed conditions. This is an important concept in the land use code, part of the comprehensive plan amendment decision criteria. So properties going for a private comprehensive plan amendment have to meet this and other criteria. And so that definition in the code is that we would have evidence of change such as unanticipated consequences of an adopted policy or changed conditions on the subject property or its surrounding area or changes related to the pertinent plan, map, or text where such change has implications of a magnitude that need to be addressed for the comprehensive plan to function as an integrated whole. So the guidance we've gotten is that really one rezoned property alone is likely not sufficient to clear that bar. It would be a decision based on, you know, a holistic decision across a larger area. So it certainly could potentially contribute, but not that one rezone by itself is unlikely to get there. Ultimately, it really depends on the specifics of the site. So now a recap of our process so far and next steps. We had the comprehensive plan and, amendment was adopted and initiated the LUCA December 12th. We issued the notice of application and our public meeting on January 19th. We held a public information session on January 31st. We had two study sessions in February and March, which brings us to today. We'll be holding the public hearing and seeking recommendation. If we get the recommendation tonight, our next step would be a city council study session followed by action. And so a reminder of the decision criteria for LUCAs. First, that the amendment is consistent with the comprehensive plan. The amendment enhances the public health, safety, or welfare. And finally, that the amendment is not contrary to the best interests of the citizens and property owners of the City of Bellevue. So thank you again. This evening, our request is to hold the public hearing on the proposed LUCA, and following the public hearing, recommend to the City Council approval of the proposed LUCA. Thank you.
Thank you to both of you. Appreciate your work. Okay, we can open this to public comment. Again, this is going to be specifically to the C1 LUCA for the public hearing. So we'll call on people in the order that they have signed up. And you're, again, once again, allowed 3 minutes to speak.
So we have three speakers signed up virtually. So we'll start there. Our first speaker is Cliff Cawthon, and I believe I saw him virtually, so I'm gonna enable him to speak here. Hey, Cliff, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Excellent. Can you hear me?
We can.
Excellent. Well, good evening, Chair Ferris and Commissioners. My name is Cliff Cawthon, and I'm speaking to you tonight with two hats. I am the co-chair of the Eastside Affordable Housing Coalition, about 34 organizations advocating for more housing, more affordable housing on the East Side. And I am also the advocacy and policy manager for Habitat for Humanity of Seattle King Keotes Counties, a longtime permanently affordable housing developer. On behalf of those two groups, I thank you for the chance to comment tonight for the Planning Commission's continued efforts to bring housing that is affordable to Bellevue residents. Both coalition members and Habitat strongly support the C1 Phase 2 update and option B is to allow as many affordable homes on eligible properties as possible. This proposed LUCA will provide an opportunity for a multifamily rezone, which would facilitate more affordable housing projects on faith-owned land that would actually be economically viable for permanently affordable housing. We also appreciate this C1 update will specifically encourage the development of affordable housing on faith-owned properties and nonprofit-owned land by providing density bonuses and a simplified related permitting process. The adoption of this update is definitely a necessary step in moving forward towards creating more housing opportunities for low and moderate income households. And also, of course, expanding this policy will get us further towards Bellevue's goals in providing more housing overall. This action is just one tool, and we look forward to working with you as well as other residents of Bellevue in order to implement high-impact strategies that will create affordable housing as well as an opportunity to have for everyone to have a safe and affordable place to live in Bellevue. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cliff.
Our next speaker is Jessica Rowe. Jessica should be able to.
Okay, you can hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great.
I think you restart the timer. Okay.
Oh, good.
Right, your time begins now.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, commissioners. I'm Jessica Rowe, land use attorney for Jubilee Reach. Jubilee Reach has a long history of community service in Bellevue and is excited about this initiative and possibly, hopefully, building affordable housing on their property. We want to thank the commissioners and staff for all your work on this so far. I'd also like to call your attention to the letter submitted by Jubilee Reach quite late. I apologize, but thank you, Tara, for including it in the packet. Since you may not have had the chance to read it yet, I wanted to summarize. Jubilee Reach is a 1.9-acre property that intends to continue its community service activities on the property, but is also hoping and is very enthusiastic about adding affordable housing under this new amendment. Our comment tonight is to ask you to consider a friendly amendment to the proposed legislation that would make the new code work best for this property. In summary, the current draft would limit the site to the transition area height of 40 feet. But this is a large site that could provide at least 30 feet of setback to the neighbors. And if it could be allowed an additional story in height, it could achieve a smaller building footprint, allow for more on-site parking for community service-related events, and still provide a great amount of transition to adjacent uses. So the specific amendment we're proposing is in the letter. We're hoping you might consider supporting it, and if you decide to recommend the legislation tonight, that you would just include our amendment in the legislation. We're happy to discuss further and provide more information as needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica.
Our next speaker is Troy Dross. I believe I saw him in the line. Troy, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Excellent, thank you. Well, good evening. My name is Troy Dross. I'm the Director of Real Estate Development for Imagine Housing. Those of you who are not familiar with Imagine Housing, we're a affordable housing provider and developer who's been servicing the East Side community needs for over 35 years, and we're proudly based in the city of Bellevue. We also are members of the Housing Development Consortium and the East Side Affordable Housing Coalition, and we work with these groups to further the cause of creating more affordable housing opportunities for the communities that we serve. And on behalf of Imagine Housing, we'd like to provide our support for the C1 LUCA that you're considering tonight. As a person who has worked in this industry for over 20 years, I'll have to say that you don't see a lot of jurisdictions taking progressive moves such as what you're considering tonight. And I would like to commend both commission, staff, and hopefully the city council later down the process for moving this forward. I think it's a very progressive step that will serve as an excellent example for the other communities in the area to also take similar actions. But I think it's great that you're being the front runner and really focusing on the needs of the community through providing this important tool. Density is always an important issue when it comes to developing affordable housing. Helps control the cost efficiencies, which are limited by many of our funding sources. And many of those sources are very scarce. So this is a very important tool that we'll have to be able to develop projects of a scale that are cost efficient. And so we thank you for that. And I will gladly yield the rest of my time.
Thank you, Troy.
Our next speaker is Kathy Relia.
Can you please touch the button?
Yes.
And state your name.
Yes. Okay. I am Kathy Relia, and I'm chair of the St. Peter's Building Committee. And St. Peter's is delighted to be one of the congregations eligible for the density bonus. Our congregation owns nearly 5 acres adjacent to multifamily housing zoned R15, 1 mile east of Crossroads on Northeast 8th, an extraordinary site for affordable housing. St. Peter's encourages you to recommend the LUCA Phase 2 to the City Council, and we will urge the Council to adopt the rezone. We have already prepared conceptual plans for the housing that presumes the density bonus, and your recommendation will move our plans one step closer to building this urgently needed housing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathy. Leave it on.
Leave it on.
That concludes our list of speakers, and it looks like we have an additional speaker that's has a hand raised virtually, and I don't know if there's any others in the audience that would like to speak.
So we do have one other person virtually that would like to speak.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. Heidi, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Oh, I did.
All right.
Great. Thank you, Tara. And good evening, commissioners. Heidi Dean here from Newport Hills. and I tuned in tonight, not sure what was going on. I don't have strong opinion either way on this Luca. I am a huge fan, as I've told Mr. Cawthorn on numerous occasions of Habitat, so I do support building that way. And quite frankly, after watching the legislative session for the last 90-something days, I think that something like this is going to be the only way that affordable housing gets built, because what happened in Olympia will not yield affordable housing. So I do support measures like this. The only thing that I ever have any real concern about is impact, and that would be, you know, under the GMA, we have concurrency mandates for things like the transportation and traffic and that sort of thing. And when you're talking about building a lot of units and giving density bonuses and stuff like that, I really want to make sure that there is consideration taken into the impact to the surrounding neighborhood with traffic and that sort of thing, which I would expect of a market rate builder as well. But what we see quite often is the city does not enforce that. So there's just kind of a blind eye turn to that. So I would hope that everybody, whether it's market rate or religious and nonprofit developers, would at some point at least take care of that, and the city would. My other thing is to with the parking, again, we've had this conversation, you've heard me say it, just because somebody is low income doesn't mean that they don't drive and that they don't have at least one and often several vehicles associated with their living unit. So I would hope that adequate parking facilities would be built with you know, these density bonuses, so that there isn't all the spillover out into the surrounding neighborhoods and, you know, creating a lot of kind of a traffic and parking nightmare. Otherwise, I think this is great, and I appreciate the efforts of the nonprofit and religious organizations that want to help out our neighbors who need it the most. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Heidi. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak? No, it has to be about the C1 Luca. What? It has to be about this Luca for this public hearing.
You talk about housing.
Yes.
I want to speak about housing.
If it's about this Luca, then you're allowed to speak.
I can?
Yes, you can, if it's about this particular Luca.
I'm sorry.
Sie heil, my dirty rats, a Nazi pig from Animal Farm. My name is Alex Zimmerman. Yeah. They deliver to you information what is you don't understand what's going on. You knew in this decision. So only by this reason you know what this means. You cannot accept this. When you don't qualify, you cannot make decision. It's very simple. Right now I give you big picture because I have this business for 30 years and doing this every day. Yeah. Every new plan what has come make condition worse than before. So for last 20 years, I don't go to Tory, but for last 20 years go bigger and bigger and bigger. This problem go bigger and bigger. And nobody want fixes this. It's a problem. You cannot fix a problem for 10%, you know what this mean? Because in real businesses, you know what this mean? When you fix it of 10% or 15% ever, you go to bankruptcy. It's not question. Right now, I give you two classic examples, you know what this means, what is you can understand. For 30 years, I spoke in council chamber about give the senior citizen, disabled people, low income like me, for example, the, cut electricity. Seattle have 50%. 30 years, I spoke about this. Nothing changed. No 5%, not 10. In Seattle have this rule for many years, for 50%. You need to understand. In number four, second, I give you classic example. Yeah, what is we have fascism, it is not only fascism, it's a pure bandita. They are bandita, real bandita. Nazi democratic mafia, I call them. We spend $100 billion for sound transit. Can you explain to me what's going on in this absolutely money for nothing. For this $100 billion, what has been spent for sound transistor, for example, the biggest Ponzi scam in American history, we can build housing for everybody for free, for everybody. We're talking about $100 billion. It's a real figure. It's not only my opinion. It's professional opinion. It's why we need Viaduc in Bellevue when Seattle cut Viaduc in Bellevue. How Viaduc right now? It's cuff cents. In Bellevue, where our salary $100,000. People drive. I drive every morning to Seattle for council chamber speak. It's a traffic make crazy. You know what this means? People staying for 5 miles. So guys, situation simple. When we don't change this bandita who controls this Democrat mafia, nothing will be changed. And you cannot make decision because you don't know about this problem, nothing. So when you, in your businesses, for example, you work for Microsoft or Amazon, for example, your boss talking, you, what is your decision? You supposed to be talk, sorry, sir, I don't have opinion because I'm not in this business. You understand I'm by talking? Thank you very much for your time.
Do we have anyone that would like to speak on the LUCA? All right, I might entertain a motion to be able to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Finish, you can sit down.
Mr. Zimmerman, you need to leave. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All approved, say aye.
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 Hearing is closed. So commissioners can now ask questions or make comments on the LUCA proposed as proposed. So I'm going to start with Commissioner Khalad.
Great. Thank you. I just need some clarification. So I am on the draft on page, 1 second. Of course, now I can't find it. I would like further understanding a little bit of the building height requirements combined with the comment from Jubilee Reach. So I am on page 5 of the draft, and I'm not sure if that is related to what the members from Jubilee Reach were referring to. So can we talk about that? So, and I, specifically, they are referring to a 40 feet limit, and I don't see that here, but can we talk about that?
Sure. So in the under our existing density bonus, we established an additional story of height for properties that are using that affordable housing density bonus, which is being carried forward. However, as established, that additional story isn't available in the portions of the property that are in a transition area. So that is a separate section of the code. Mm-hmm. We have transition area standards that apply to for, you know, in the case where you have a multifamily property that is immediately adjacent to a lower density single family, for example, the transition area standards apply to the area within 300 feet. Yes, within 300 feet. And so there are some standards that then would impact the development as a whole. So those projects have to go through design review, for example. But then others only apply to that kind of that 300-foot segment, including there's a hard cap on height, which basically keeps them at their maximum zoned height, which in the case of Jubilee Reach, I think they're looking at the R20, which would get them keep them at 40 feet of height. Yeah.
All right. And what we're discussing is not on this draft that we isn't a different kind of part of the code, right? So we're not seeing it here because I reviewed a document and I didn't see what they were talking about. Yep. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. And I don't have any further questions at the moment.
Great. Thank you very much. Commissioner Goppel.
Yeah, I had one question that actually goes all the way back to our schedule at the very beginning. And this is for Tara. I'm wondering, in light of all of the developments at the state legislature this year, whether it would be possible at some point to get an update on how all of that is going to be affecting our overall, comp plan, refresh effort, because there's a lot of things that have changed between the middle housing bill, the House bill
1110, and then also the ADU bill. And, you know, when we're looking at the context of doing all of these different things in Bellevue, it'd be good to get the bigger picture of what we may be facing longer term. And so I just raise that as a possibility, you know, to the extent there's an opportunity to squeeze something into our schedule.
Absolutely. It's staff's intent. As you know, the timing is not ideal with release of the draft EIS because we are analyzing several aspects of the bill as they are in their current form, but we don't know what the exact outcome is going to be. So it is our intent once we have, a firm legislation in place, staff will be kind of regrouping to evaluate what additional analysis, if any, is needed potentially within the EIS process. So we'll definitely be talking about that with the commission at some point.
That's great. Thank you. And then I have a couple of questions on this, Luca. And I think you did an excellent job at answering our questions from the last session. Really appreciate the good work. And my first question has to do with one of the alternatives that you put forward, which was the ability to look at some of the criteria for purposes of these sites and making the arterial access or proximity to high capacity transit being the alternative rather than both be required. Can you give us any more idea about how many more eligible sites that might create, and maybe a rough idea of how much additional affordable housing that might unlock in terms of a potential?
That's on slide 15, right? Can we go to that slide?
No. Can we go to slide 15? I think that's where he's referring to.
I will say, I think slide 15 has the comparison of A and B for the alternatives. I think he's getting at the impact of if we change specifically the eligibility criteria for transit. I have the number of sites. I should have brought the estimated capacity. Just a moment here. Sorry. It would add 7 additional sites, so it would bring it up to 37.
Don't we have 31 now? I thought we had 31 with Jubilee Reach.
Just 30. Okay. Yeah, Jubilee, and that's including Jubilee Reach. Yeah. So it would add 7 additional sites, but I don't have the kind of additional capacity there.
Okay, yeah. That's helpful. I think that's important for me because when I look at this, I'm very supportive of the objectives that we're trying to advance here. And where my head is leaning on this is I would be more interested in trying to loosen up some of the criteria for eligible sites so that we could add 7 more sites. And as between the two alternatives that you put forward, I prefer the staff recommendation, which is the option A, because when I look at the facts on the ground, especially for those two sites, you know, where you have a bump up of 2 or 3, designations, the difference, I think, for especially a lot of those neighboring property owners is going to be pretty stark in terms of the development that's going to occur. And if we think about, you know, some of the aspects of, you know, the land use portions of the comp plan and the decision criteria that we are supposed to apply, you know, it's supposed to be looking at, you know, stability and enhancement of neighborhoods. And I know we're enhancing them in some ways, but I also think stability, especially for some of the people who are neighbors, is another value that we need to consider. So in terms of a trade-off, I would rather have us look at expanding the number of sites through loosening the selection criteria and not changing the way that we are dealing with how we arrive at the new designation. So that's my two cents so far. I might be persuaded otherwise.
Thank you, Commissioner Brown.
You stole my question. Now I have to rethink it. So I'm assuming these seven additional sites, if we used or rather than and on the arterial and high capacity traffic, would tend to be in that AH1 site because it's off on arterial, probably not immediately next to a commercial or high density. It may not be true, but I'm going to guesstimate it's true.
It should be more likely. I don't want to get too far ahead, but you know, those higher densities tend to be more correlated with the cases where you have transit and arterial.
And high speed transit within a half a mile, you said, right? So they might not be able to walk there on an arterial, but it might even be more pleasant to walk not on an arterial, but to get to high speed transit within a half a mile.
And it's we actually have two tiers for transit. So for those stops with service at least four times per hour, it's a half mile. And then for stops with service at least two times per hour, we bring it down to a quarter mile.
Okay.
So it brings in a few more sites that way as well.
Great. Okay. So it would add seven more sites, significant more housing. I'm starting to agree with you, especially seeing that huge bump up from AH1 to AH4. In some of those areas, I think that's a really stark increase just because tiny little corner within 500 miles is a commercial property. I'm starting to see to align with the staff recommendation on that. And I'd like to see more sites. So I think an interesting compromise would be to use that staff recommendation, but use the or instead of and on the arterial and the high speed transit. That's where I'm leaning. Great presentation. Thank you for really, really showing it in like on the ground in reality for those specific sites that drastically increase. I think it really did provide a very stark realization of what that would mean for that neighborhood. So I really appreciate you. It's one thing to have it in theory, and it's yet another thing to really see it on the ground. I think it made a huge difference in my mindset. So that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Mr. Malkuchin.
Thank you.
Can we have that slide that is making my fellow commissioner panicking about going crazy above the board and changing the whole planet?
That sounded like an exaggeration, no?
15? Yeah, was that down, the one with the down. Table?
Yeah. No, keep going back. There you go.
No. The one that the side that we were just jumping from one increase by three.
Okay. Yeah. So that's
LDS Church. Yeah. So keep going.
I know.
Yeah. This is the one with the biggest.
So.
Yeah. I think it's a little.
So one more slide.
Yeah.
Great. So we are seeing here. So can you explain this slide for us? So we are close to the R30 on the bottom side, on the down, and then we are R10 on the
multifamily.
Yeah. And then on the left side is R10.
Yes.
And we are by option A, we are going with R10, but we are thinking if we go to by R30, is going to be changing the whole neighborhood, based on my fellow commissioner. Am I right? That's what I'm hearing. Correct.
Paraphrasing my.
Okay. So I don't know why we need to compromise. I love my fellow commissioner, as always, when you talk, I learn something from you. I love their ideas that we should not have all of this limitation or would be perfect. I agree. Seven more property add, great. But I don't know, and can you go to the comparison numbers, please, the 500-ish more based on my weak math? Yeah, kind of. I think definitely it is very arbitrary. The 500 feet is arbitrary. The closest, the longest, these are all arbitrary. I think definitely we should go with the one that gives us the maximum, 500 units maximum. What are we doing? What is our purpose? Is increasing the stock of affordable housing. And we are a bunch of people sitting here by arbitrary, we are limiting ourselves. I think we should not do that. I think we should go with 500 more that it gives us. And I think that would be what I am inclining. But changing the topic, unless you want to talk about this, because I am changing to a significant change. Do you want to? Yes.
I will have some things to say about this. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. No, but mine is different topic, though. Let's just finish this topic, then it's going to be better.
Okay, still, but is your comments about the Luca still?
Yes, I have another comment about the Luca.
Go ahead and make it, and then I'll come back.
So that's my opinion about this conversation about the basically no limitation, have that or my flow commissioner were on point, extra 7 units, but also go with the option B that give us the maximum units. But on the significant change condition, I think we are very casual about it. And I think right now is okay because we are all alive here. You are here. What happens if you guys win lottery and then you are not working for city and then we are all retired and there are new people here. Mr. King is not here. No one is here.
We're all dead.
Yes.
We're dead. Remember?
That's a sad way of it. I believe they are going to, and this significant change condition is the most subjective topic we have on this commission. I have been here for past 7 years, and we have not agreed in this commission on what is that significant change condition is. I think if we treat that casually as what you guys did, that, hey, one doesn't cut it. We need to look at the whole thing. One land use code change doesn't big deal. I think it does. So I think we should be somehow mentioned this is just for affordability and that should not be part of that significant change clearly in the code. I don't know how you are the expert, but that's my take on that.
Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that. So not surprisingly, I do have a couple of comments to make. One I've shared earlier where it's obvious that staff and city council and many of us here are really, really pushing to try to build more affordable housing, which is so critically needed. Of all the things that we've discussed, this one, Luca, is the one that's going to move the needle absolutely by the most. So getting it right and getting it the best that we possibly can is crucial as far as I'm concerned. I agree with my fellow commissioner that I think that we need to pull out all the stops. I would agree with option B in terms of using the highest density, recognizing that many of those sites are not going to be built anyway. And I think about there was a comment from Heidi Dean earlier about making sure we have parking. I think that's also something that as developers come in to try to help those churches develop, that they need to be responsible about that and make sure that there is adequate parking, because I agree that we don't want to have it be impacted by the neighborhoods. And I also agree that we need to try to push for that alternative in terms of having either arterial or rapid transit. To me, actually, I started thinking about this, that it never really made a ton of sense why we had to have both, because it's not as if the folks that live in affordable housing have fewer cars. So it was really just an arbitrary way of trying to make sure it was in the more dense areas of our city. So being able to do it either way, to me, broadens the number of sites that are being able to develop, and I think done in a responsible way. And lastly, I do agree with you. I think it is important that we recognize that, you know, the significant change. But honestly, the city of Bellevue has to go through a significant change. We are no longer the bedroom community of Seattle. Yeah. We are our own entity, an urban environment, and we need to, I think, move ourselves forward in a really responsible, deliberate way. And I, over time, I see less and less of single-family housing that's going to be here. Not immediately. I don't want that. But we have to recognize where we're headed. So those are my comments. Would anyone else like to share thoughts? I think I might want to kind of do a share of hands so that we can give you some specific feedback on those two alternatives. So the one alternative on the option about having the adjacent property versus within 500 feet of being the most dense. So who would be in favor of option one, which the staff recommends being adjacent? one, who would want the most dense? Thank you very much. On the second issue, in terms of being able to provide more flexibility in terms of the criteria, so we move from a not and but an or between the heavy transit and arterial, who would be in favor of adopting that?
Or.
Yeah.
Okay, I think you have your guidance.
More.
Unaffordable housing.
Unaffordable housing, yes.
All right. Are there any other comments that anyone would like to share at this point?
Just a quick question on the significant change. Given the new HB 1110 and the ADU, if certain communities are starting to build duplexes, triplexes, quadplexes, whatever's allowed, is that – that's not a change in zoning. Is that a significant change, just out of curiosity?
I'll say – it is a very specific term. I don't want to like let my tone belie kind of our response. I would point to the answer we did in the agenda memo Matt McFarland did pull together, so that he is summarizing that based on kind of the case law and everything. I'd say if we are starting to see lots of those rezones, to me, I think that would start to be demonstrative of significant change, but I am not a lawyer. I am very hesitant to go any further than that.
Okay,
so
he's giving you a look.
I know the look.
So I think we're to a point where we might want to have the motion to adopt the LUCA and then pass it over to council with the amendments that we have spoken about.
I move that we pass along the amended LUCA as suggested and voted on to the city council for hearing.
Is that language?
There is formal motion language that I provided you.
Just a minute.
You know that motion language.
Commissioner Gopal is volunteering himself to read that.
Would you? Do you have it?
I don't have it.
Just volunteering.
It's in the I provided in the annotated agenda.
All right. Okay. Give me a second. I got it. Okay, here we go. The Planning Commission recommends to the City Council that the proposed Affordable Housing Strategy Action C1 Phase 2 LUCA be adopted as amended in tonight's meeting, since the amendment is consistent with all the decision criteria in LUC 20.30J.135.
I move what she said.
Second.
Any discussion? All approved say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Well done.
Congratulations to everyone. That's a big deal.
It is a very big deal. This is going to be
great job.
Really big deal. Okay.
I should have spoken again.
Okay. We'll keep moving on. I think we can now let's talk about our next meeting in terms of anyone knows that you're going to be absent. So permission to you're running the meeting.
Oh, I'm running the meeting.
Because I will be absent. I will do my best to call in. And I know that Vice Chair Barkov is not able to join us at all. We will presume that Commissioner Morisseau is not able to join. Is there anyone else that...
I believe we don't know about Commissioner Morisseau because she hasn't been at the last meeting. But in looking at last meeting's minutes, Chair Ferris and then... And Commissioner Brown requested remote participation.
I was going to participate remote from DC.
Yes.
Okay. So we would need to make a motion to approve myself and Commissioner Brown.
I believe we did that at the last meeting, so you don't need to.
Oh, we did already. Okay.
The whole term.
Man, I so pay attention. Man. All right. I'm sorry?
I don't know. And the rest of the world, we have to be here.
Yes.
Okay, so I think it's approval of minutes. Oh, we didn't get the minutes from last meeting, did we?
Yes,
we did. All
we
right,
have two sets of
minutes. Oh, that's right. Okay, that's it. On different set of paragraphs. Four meeting minutes of March 8th and March 22nd. So let's do one at a time.
I make a motion to approve the minutes for the meetings of March 8th.
Okay. I second the motion.
Any discussion? All approved say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. March 22nd.
I make a motion to approve our meeting minutes of March 22nd.
A second.
Discussion? All approved say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay, I've got too many pieces of paper. All right, we have time for more oral communication. Is there anyone that would like to speak?
Yay.
I appreciate very much what you've done here.
Can you
I know that it's tough.
Name
and I recognize that I'm not
the only
one that thinks this.
I'm sorry, just can you state your name just for the record?
My name is Lee Sargent, 16246 Northeast 24th Street, Sherwood Forest. Basically, I want to also thank you for your tolerance. I mean, it's hard in our country when we have free speech. And it's sad for me, especially for Mr. Zimmerman, is that he's not communicating anything. And that's the problem that we have with a lot of people. So I appreciate the fact that you can choose to stay calm for 3 minutes. There are a lot of times when that suppression of 3 minutes can end in other consequences. So be aware, you don't have to listen and believe, but he is a person, and there are a lot of people like him. Thank you, and thank you again for what you've done for the Affordable Care. I appreciate your focus. You did well. I appreciate it.
Thank you very
much. Thank you so much.
We really appreciate your words.
We appreciate you being here.
Mm-hmm. All right, is there anyone else that would like to speak? I think with that, I might entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn our today meeting.
Oh. Any further discussion? All approved say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Well done.